Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. Today is Sunday, the 22nd of October, or not October, August. I had you fooled there for a second, didn't I? I would like it to be the 22nd of October. It's damn hot here in New York. At any rate, it's 2-2 August, and we are 2-2 August of 2010. So we are going to talk this today. What we always do every week is we talk a little bit about what the upcoming weather looks like. We have a little astrology lesson, and then we talk a little bit, we take calls from listeners if they have questions or if they sent questions in by email. So we have a couple different ways you can contact us, but if you are sending a question in by email, send it in a little ahead of the show rather than last minute, because I don't always check my email. So because some people sent me one last week, and I'm like, oh, that would have been a good question, but I didn't see it till after the show, because I work on Sundays, and I sit down right from my, I just hung up on the reading in Tahiti. I was talking to somebody in Papeete, Tahiti, and forward we go, you know. So hung up and called the show, ready to roll. So here we are on the 22nd of August, and we have finished, thank God, finished the Cardinal Cross, or the Cardinal T-square, depending on, you know, if you're a Uranian or not, and you count series. Not Ceres, Hades. So the energy's peaked. Now, we are in Mercury retrograde. Mercury went retrograde last week on Friday. So Thursday, Friday had a lot of interesting information. A lot of people had a rough week last week, but also other people had really cool things happen to them, because the T-square also is setting us forward on our new journey. So you could have met someone or gotten a job offer or had something exciting happen to you in some way, shape, or form with the T-square energy, because it's very much about starting a new exciting journey as an old life ends. In other cases, people were really rather bogged down or kind of wiped out or tired or exhausted, or things ended for them, or they ended things, ending relationships. Because the T-square also prompts the desire to wrap things up and finish things, because it's a hard energy. And if you think about it, it looks like a T in the sky, meaning, or a T in the world. And you think about, like, when you were a little kid and, you know, you went and visited construction sites. There used to be houses that got built near where I was a kid, and I would always go and watch. And they had those levels, and they would level to see if the ground was straight or if the thing that they'd put in was straight. And a T-square is kind of like a level, because it's got the bottom part, and then it has the part that sticks up perpendicular. So what it is it's a crossroads. It makes us, it helps us see clearly, because we're at this point of change, transformation, and shifting. And we also are in the process of looking and saying, wow, what direction do I want to go next? So that's the other part of this energy, is what's my next direction? So part of the process is to say, good, bad, or indifferent, it's over. So I'm, like, really happy. It also is calming, going to calm down now once the energies start to split apart. Now, we will have Pluto station in September, which is a little kind of a little earthquakey energy at the back end. But it will be then we're moving forward. So Cardinal T-square. Cardinal means we want to take action about it. We don't want to sit in the same old way we've always been. We're up for change, and we're up for change in one of three areas. We're up for change in our Aries house, which is really saying, let's change it up, let's do something different, let's try something new, let's create. We're up for creating structure or stability in our Libra house. We're wanting to build a partnership, we're wanting to build a relationship, we're wanting to start being serious about something. You know, so in the case of a few people I know last week, they got engaged. And then I had other people get a job offer that was really terrific. And I had other people, fabulous news about their book. You know, they got a book contract. So that was the positive side of partnering. In a couple of other instances, it was Uranus. It was like, I'm leaving. I don't want to do this anymore. So there were a couple relationships that ended and broke up and said, we're done. And there were a couple people that were really, really deeply depressed and really doing heavy, serious work processing. I had a couple suicide people, and we had the Craigslist killer. He killed himself. pretty gruesomely, actually. You know, I kind of was like, guy's got to be a Scorpio rising. No offense to the Scorpio risings, but he like stabbed himself with a thing that he made up of from his fork, and he wrote in blood on his wall his girlfriend's ex-fiance's name plus pocket, whatever that means, some secret code probably. And then he wrapped a bag around his head so he'd suffocate. You know, I mean, just not a happy ending. And we also had Mel Gibson run off the cliff, and we had the plastic surgeon go off the cliff. So there were a few deaths, and then we had suicide. There was an interesting thing on suicides in China, the place that makes the iPads, iPhones, whatever they are, those iThings, the things from Mac. These people work 80 hours of overtime a month. That's a lot of overtime. That's like two jobs. In addition to their 40 hours. So they're cutting back their overtime to 36 hours a month because people are jumping off the buildings there, you know, because they're working too hard. So I'm like, isn't that good? And also the Pakistan crisis where there's 20 million people that are homeless. And we ended the war in Iraq, ostensibly. We withdrew our troops. We left behind 50,000 peacekeepers, but we pulled the troops out. And you know, there were lots of interesting news accounts kind of from all different realms. Iran went nuclear. They started their nuclear power plant with Russia's approval. So I was kind of going, that's an interesting little – Russia's going to take care of their nuclear waste for them. There were a lot of things that went on in the news last week. Oh, and the WikiLeaks guy, the guy that leaks all those documents from the Pentagon, he got accused of rape, and then it got taken back. So it was definitely one of those interesting weeks in the world. So what we're looking at this week is the energy starts to split. So there may be some last little bits as it starts to separate. And what we want for separating degrees is 2 degrees. So as it gets 2 degrees apart, we're finished. Until it's 2 degrees apart, it's still in there. It's kind of like when you're running after the train hoping you can hop on still. But basically, we're on the separating moment. It starts to part. We also have a very juicy full moon this month, or this week, on Tuesday night, or Tuesday afternoon. And the full moon is at 1 Pisces, which echoes back to the full moon in March of 2009, which is when, of course, the killer guy killed the Craigslist killer was killing people. And then November of 2009, end of November, when we had the opening square, and now we have the full moon. So stories from March of 2009 are culminating before you. You're going to be working with those stories. And then we have, you know, just the run-of-the-mill regular aspects of things that are going on in the heavens, which we're going to talk about a little bit too, and then we will go forward. So the thing to remember is we also are in Mercury retrograde right now. And so when Mercury is retrograde, things get screwed up, and communications, basically, because Mercury rules communications. So it's a great time to back up your computer. It's a great time to double-check when you order coffee, take the lid off, and make sure there's cream in it, because you asked for regular, and they didn't give you black. Double-check. Always double-check any kind of paperwork or anything like that on Mercury retrograde. It's not a prohibition against doing things. People always get very excited. Oh, my God, I can't sign a contract, and my house is going, wah. And it's like, no. What happens when you have Mercury retrograde is you just have to double check. You have to pay attention, and you can expect that whatever you commit to will change when it goes direct. So whatever you said you were going to do will shift. It'll move. You won't be able to do it quite the way you wanted to. You may have to do it twice. It doesn't mean you can't do things. People get a little crazy about Mercury retrograde. Also, if you have Mercury retrograde in your chart, either by natal position or by progression, Mercury retrogrades are actually pretty fun for you because you get stuff, okay? Now, I happen to have Mercury retrograde in my chart by progression, so I often get new jobs or get new assignments or get new fun, cool things while Mercury's retrograde because it is a happy placement for me. Now, my natal Mercury is direct, but my progressed Mercury is retrograde, so I always wait to see, ooh, new stuff. So We found out last week on the station, as Mercury was stationing, that we found a new home for Access Astrology, which is the lecture I give once a week in the city. We used to give it at East West Books, and East West Books closed on June 30th on the eclipses. They had an ascendant at 19 Cancer, and the eclipses were 19 Cancer in the 8th house of ending. So that bookstore ended, and the guy who I do the lectures with found a new home for us at the Open Center. So we're going to resume our lectures. We're resuming them on Mercury retrograde because we're restarting at a new place on September 7th. So those of you who are in the city within the listening area can stop by on not June 7th, September 7th. See, there's Mercury retrograde. You say it wrong, too. On September 7th at the Open Center, which is on 30th Street between Madison and 5th Avenue, 22 East 30th. So we're going to be lecturing there. And the entry fee is $5, and it's from 6:30 to 7:30 on Tuesdays. So that was, I got an old job back, so that was kind of fun. And Mercury retrograde, it also rules the things that are making noises in your house, or you know, you can feel your cell phone's a little flaky, or your tape recorder's going rawr, rawr, rawr. Well, in my case, Mercury is a big one because it's stationing at 18, 19, right on my sun. Okay. So I kind of went, oh, and something big's going to happen. Some big Virgo thing. So my refrigerator died. Now, I have had the refrigerator for, I can't complain. I think it was in like 1986 or 87. So that puppy owes me absolutely nothing. But I had gone to my friend's house when my friend Ellen got married, and we'd had a wedding reception, and Marianne had gotten this new, absolutely fabulous refrigerator. Now, Virgo rules refrigerators because it rules the household appliances. So Mercury stationing on my sun made it a big household appliance, not like a little cute thing like a printer. It made it be a big 800-and-some-odd-dollar refrigerator. But anyway, I went to see my friend Marianne. Well, we had the party at Marianne's because it was, like, so hot. So we had it inside in the air conditioning because we're all a bunch of wusses instead of going to the beach and having the barbecue as planned. But she got this beautiful refrigerator. So I was like, oh, man, I had refrigerator envy. I'm like, I really love that refrigerator. I said, you know, my refrigerator's been making a lot of really bad noises lately. I'm kind of hoping it's, you know, if it dies, I'm going to get one like you have. Well, it died. I was, like, all excited. So I got up last night, I opened the refrigerator, it's dead. I'm like, you died. Wow, how cool is that? I get to have a new one. So I called Home Depot this morning, chatted with them. They were like, oh, no, the new refrigerators, you know, you want to probably order from the store, faster delivery, yada, yada. So I went to the store, can't deliver it till Wednesday. So now I'm like, I got all this food in my house, you know, like I went to the farmer's market, I made baba ganoush yesterday, you know, I need a refrigerator. So I ordered it, come home, ring my neighbor's bell, say, hi, can I, you know, move my food into your refrigerator while I'm waiting for my new one to come? She's like, sure, no problem. So I bring a bunch of her stuff over to her house. We fill her refrigerator up with my stuff, my freezer, her freezer, whole nine yards. I paid $800 or whatever it was for the refrigerators coming on Wednesday. My refrigerator's 90% empty, you know, got a couple things in there, nothing major. Damn thing turns back on again. So I kind of looked at it and I thought, oh, this is really tempting because, like, it did break, but now it's back. Maybe it was just mad because it was over full. But I can't really have a refrigerator that turns off for, like, 12 hours and then turns itself back on. So I thought, I think I'm going to keep the new refrigerator. But it was that Mercury retrograde kind of moment where, like, oh, you're back? You're still alive? I thought you were dead. I'd written you off. I'd fiddled with you and you didn't do anything, but when I emptied the food out, it got excited and it turned itself on. I guess it realized it was going to get the boot. So Mercury retrograde, the trickster tricked me and said, do you really want to buy a new refrigerator? And I'm like, I do. I really had refrigerator envy. It has, well, I won't even tell you, it's kind of boring, but it was a very cool refrigerator, and it's kind of, I got the kind where the bottom has the freezer. I thought, well, that's a really good invention because, you know, you always open it up and that whole top door you can't look in because it's the freezer. So I thought, I'm going to get a refrigerator with the thing on the bottom. So I did. So I got a refrigerator with the top is the refrigerator, and the bottom is the drawer. So I'm looking forward to my new refrigerator. And Wednesday, Mercury retrograde story. And trick, trick, trick. And it also is the full moon. This full moon is on my moon, my moon in the sixth house. So maybe the refrigerator will die in the next day or so again, so I won't feel bad. But if it doesn't, I have a new refrigerator. And the moon rules my sixth house. So you always look to see where the aspects are setting off. So the Mercury station on my sun, I knew it was going to be something big, good-sized. Didn't anticipate it would be my Virgo refrigerator, but it was. But it was, you know, it's 20-some-odd years old, I think, 25, something, long time. So forward. So this week we have a lot of stuff. Now, Mercury stationing retrograde 19, going to go back through the middle of September to the 13th. And the sun this week goes into Virgo, okay? So the sun goes into Virgo, and of course, as every planet, we know when it enters those early degrees, it's going to set off the T-square one more time. Dump-da-dump-da-dump. We're getting tired of the T-square, but the T-square is starting to split apart, so that's not a bad thing. So the sun is going to trine Pluto, and it's going to semi-square in conjunct form to Jupiter. And it's going to semi-sextile Saturn. So it's going to set up the T-square with slightly stressful aspects, but it is changing into Virgo. Sun's in Virgo, leaving Leo, summer's over. We're going towards the end of the mutable season where the sun goes from Leo into Virgo and says, okay, school, okay, beach, school, beach, work, beach, school, beach, vacation, beach, beach, you know, work, work. It's, you know, the mutable, lovely, changeable season of fall. Mercury going backwards is going to go back across through the T-square, and he also has aspects to Venus and Mars, not happy ones. And Venus and Mars joined, too, so that was they started a new cycle of relationships. He's also going to be fighting with family members. So Mercury's a little cranky because he's going backwards. And remember, you know, he is in Virgo, so he is critical. He is telling you the truth. You might not like what he says, but he's not lying. Venus is actually happy this week, okay? And she's been a little cranky, but she is in Libra, and she is making nice aspects to basically everybody in the heavens. So she's a happy girl. And Mars is reasonably happy, too. He's not moving as fast as Venus because she's zipping along. But he is happy, too. So that's nice. We have happy planets. Who knew? After the whole summer where everything was so crabby, now it's going to be happy. We also have Vesta, which is the home and hearth planet, making changes. And she's making changes to the home, quite a few, actually. So we can expect people moving. You know, I have a bunch of friends going off to college. I have a lot of younger friends these days. Children of my friends, it's very sad, but they do go to college, and that makes you feel old. So they're going to college. And then we also have, last but not least, Admetos stationing at 26 Taurus, and he stations on the 26th of August. So when Admetos stations, Admetos is a trans-Neptunian planet, so what we find with those is they tend to have a pretty big impact on the collective. And he's kind of a nasty guy. So he's stationing on the 26th, which means the day or so ahead and the day or so after, there will be lots of endings. Okay, so while we are finished with the peaking of the T-square, meaning it peaked this week when my refrigerator died on Sunday, it now starts to separate. But as it separates, we're going to go bing, 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 and there's going to be a bunch of endings this week as the energy parts, okay, because it's kind of peaked, and then it's going to separate and cause some stuff to change, some stuff to release, some stuff to finish. And with Admetos stationing, we can expect endings to take place. So it's a nice, juicy little energy, but it's also kind of hard. But it's not anywhere near as bad as the stuff we've been dealing with over the last 3 weeks. That, thank heavens, is going to start to dissipate. All right, so Monday the sun enters Virgo, and we have the moon in Aquarius, which is a very friendly, perky little moon. And it goes void at 4:30 in the morning on that Tuesday morning night, and so it's void with a conjunction to Neptune, which makes it a positive ending, a dream released. The moon goes into Pisces at 10 in the morning on the full moon day, and the full moon takes place at 1:05 p.m. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. And it's in Pisces on the 25th and the 26th. And it goes void at 9:59 on the 26th with a conjunction to Uranus. So that's when I get my new refrigerator delivered. And my moon's in Pisces, and my moon rules my sixth house. So I'm having a nice new refrigerator in my house. But the moon in Pisces also has nice closing aspects. It has nice aspects in general. So it's kind of positive, easy-flowing kind of energy. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, easy-flowing. Thursday night, the moon goes into Aries at 10:49 p.m. Eastern time, and it's in Aries on Friday, and it's in Aries on Saturday. And it goes void at 4:48 in the morning Saturday night with a sextile to Neptune. Again, a nice, positive closing aspect. Moon in Aries is a little combative, and it does set off the T-square. On the 27th, on Friday the 27th, the day after Admetos stations. But I don't think it'll be particularly bad. And then we also have the Sun trine Pluto on the 26th, which is the Sun in working Virgo trining the Pluto in Capricorn, saying, okay, what have we amounted to? What have we done? So there's a lot of energy this week about looking back. And remember, whenever Mercury's retrograde, we look back. We run into our old boyfriends, we run into our old girlfriends, we hear from our old coworkers, we hear from people we haven't heard from in a long time. And the story for the Mercury retrograde is the story that started from the 1st of August, because that's when Mercury entered his shadow. So all the stuff you've been working on since the 1st of August, you're going to continue to work on as the story changes over the next few weeks when Mercury is retrograde. And he's retrograde through, I think it's the 13th, let me look. No, he's retrograde through the 12th. Pluto's retrograde. Pluto goes direct on the 13th. So he goes direct on the 12th, and Pluto goes direct on the 13th. And Mars changes signs. So that's a busy week, the week of the 12th of September. But so Mercury's going to say to you, go back and revise. Now, he's also stationing on the 9/11 degree, okay? So there was a lot of information, you know, this week as we had the pulling out of Iraq, which had nothing to do with Saddam Hussein, had nothing to do with 9/11. So now as Mercury stations 9 years later on the degree of 9/11, Sun, now we're saying, okay, we're going to leave Iraq. Of course, you know, we own the oil fields and, you know, we've blown the country up and we're leaving 50,000 people behind to watch over them, plus who knows how many contractors. But our mission is accomplished. Not like when George said at the, you know, when he was on that boat off the coast of Pennsylvania or California. But so that's why there's a 9/11 thing. We also have the Iran piece with the nuclear power reactor. And Israel and Pakistan, or not Pakistan, Palestine, now making noise about talking again. A lot of energy around redoing old agreements, old deals. And Mercury in Virgo is not a bad retrograde to have, because what he wants you to do is go back and look at the deal that you set up and see if you want to change it and see how it needs to change to make you be more happy with your outcome. Now, we also have a full moon this week on the 24th, and that full moon is very juicy. Cast for the New York, for Washington, D.C. chart, the midheaven is on the fixed star Regulus, and the fixed star Regulus is an interesting star. Regulus is the kingmaker star, so it tends to be very high-riding, very important, great star, and then, at the end, everything falls apart. It's like one of those kind of nasty trick stars. You know, you have this great life, you build this wonderful stuff, and then everything like collapses and you lose everything and it goes away. So midheaven is Regulus. Right next to it is the Sun at 1 degree of Virgo, opposite the Moon at the very bottom of the chart at 1 degree of Pisces. The chart has the T-square shooting out into the eighth house of other people's money, and Pluto is on the north node of the chart in the second house, or coming to the north node. So we have a, because remember, the nodes go backwards. So we have a T-square that's shooting the energy into the eighth house. Now, one of the things we also have is the sun coming to trine Pluto, and we're going to go back to February, to the fall of March of 2009, when we were really engaged in a lot of the bailout information. So while we did pass the credit card law that just went into effect this week, where they're not going to be allowed to do a bunch of things, the regulations for it, the collapse of the financial markets, was really very active in the spring of 2009, in March of 2009, in fact. So while we have been waiting anxiously or not so anxiously, depending on who you are, for the collapse of the financial markets, I don't think we're done until Admeto stations. No, thank God nothing has happened. I'm really very happy that we haven't had this big boom and lost all our money and all that stuff. On the other hand, you know, it's Pluto. So I'm like, it's Pluto. Pluto doesn't go away. He just kind of... So this week, when there's all this stuff going on, and Admeto is stationing on the degree of the Jupiter Saturn conjunction in 2000, which is when a lot of this kind of craziness started. So we'll see what happens this week. If we get through this week, I'm good to go and say, okay, we're good until the fall, till November, when Pluto gets to the north node, and beginning of November, like November 7th. But we can kind of rest a little. So we have a lot of energy. So the full moon chart also has Uranus, change, chaos. Uranus is on the fixed star Shit. Yes, there literally is a star in the sky called Shit. Spelled a little different, S-C-H-E-A-T. But Shit is actually not a very nice star. It's in Pegasus's leg, and so it's got this energy of kind of galloping off and doing things without necessarily being well-behaved. And it's a little possessive and a little territorial and a little crazy. So with those two stars, and then we also have the northern scales very active with the ascendants, meaning balance being restored. The Zubin Elgin Nubi and the Zubin Esh Shamali, the northern scale and the southern scales, are on the ascendants. Now remember, you're going, well, the ascendant in this chart, Ann, is 19 Scorpio. I know. But the stars go backwards. Okay, they go backwards very slowly, 1 degree every 72 years. So the northern and southern scales of the sign of Libra are on the ascendant, essentially saying to us, we need to make balance, and we need to be careful not to rise too high, because Regulus is on the midheaven, else it will all collapse, Uranus, and go to Shit. Uh-huh. So I look at that aspect and I go, interesting stuff. So we're going to watch this week and we're going to see what happens. And then if we get through this week and everything's good, breathe a sigh of relief and forward we go. And with Admeto stationing midweek, that can always be an interesting experience. The planetary balance is fairly even. There's mix between cardinal, fixed, and mutable, not too much of any. And there's a nice balance between fire, earth, air, and water on the full moon, too. So it's a balanced full moon. It does take place in the day of Mars, hour of Saturn, cast for the U.S. chart. So it's got an energy of taking action. Mars and Venus are happy. They're joined together. They're happy in love and all that sort of stuff. And Saturn is relatively high in the chart and in a trine to somebody. Where was he in a trine to? Damned if I can see it now. Well, he wasn't a trine to something. But anyway, he's squaring Pluto and he's opposing Jupiter, and he's having an aspect of brilliance to the moon. So it's also a day where you can learn things. Full moons always bring things to light. And there's a very quick transiting hammer of Thor taking place in the sky between Saturn and the node, that's what I was looking at, and the moon. moon is the hammer. So emotionally, this week can also have a little extra punch to it because that hammer of Thor uses the moon as the handle. And the moon in Pisces is highly sensitive and very emotional. So we want to kind of watch the emotions on Tuesday and see what they are, and then kind of watch the ripple across the collective. And the moon is moving pretty slowly, too, so that always makes her be a little extra sensitive when she's moving slowly in an emotional sign. So watch for a little emotional outburst. But it's going to be so much better than the last 3 weeks. It's going to be so much better. It's still crappy aspects, but they're separating. And I'm going to be able to write happy columns again and say, okay, make a plan, you know, like let's go forward. Not so much gloom and doom. So forward we go. All right, so that is the exciting weekly aspects. So the week has good aspects for getting stuff out the door. It's a Virgo moon, so you're going to be productive. Virgo sun, rather, so you're going to be productive. We got a little bump in the middle of the week on the 26th when Admeto stations. And we also have, the T-square gets set off one more time by the moon in Aries. Boom, 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 boom. But that's okay. We're getting used to this T-square getting set off every couple of days. So we're starting to learn to ride with it. Mercury is retrograde, so do double-check your communications. You may hear from people you have not heard from in a while. That's totally cool. And connect with them. Listen to the ghosts. The ghosts are coming in to talk to you about something important in your life. So with that fine note, I think we'll take some calls. So the call-in number for tonight is 347-215-7467, 347-215-7467. My name is Ann Ortley, and this is my weekly weather show where we talk to you about what you can expect in the week ahead. So basically, good week ahead, separating, releasing the tension, can have a little bump midweek, full moon, you're going to see stuff, be emotional on Tuesday. But by and large, yay! We're free. We're moving. We're moving. And that's great. I'm really so happy the financial markets did not fall apart. Again, we still have a little more to go, but, you know, I really thought it would have happened already, and it didn't. So I'm happy. I'm like, yay. All right. So let's talk about take some callers, 347-215-7467. And I also had, I didn't read it yet, so I'm going to go look for it. Somebody emailed me right as I was signing on to the show, and I thought, oh, that's a good idea. So this is an email from Scott that says, hello, Ann, I have a question for your show if you want to use it. Now, I've not read this question, so I don't know if I can use it, but I will try. He has an office space. Two other people share the suite. That was my ask to the universe, and they called the same day I viewed the space. There are three spaces, and I need two others to join in. Feels like it will be good. Yes, totally. You got great aspects for it. It's a couple. He's a body worker. That made my Virgo a little known on the show. She's a feng shui. I don't see the question. Where's the question, Scott? This is long. All right. Most likely be signed the sublet in Mercury retrograde. That seems okay for me. The next signing of a lease will be at the time of year in January, and I'll be looking for a good time to sign within the appropriate day. First phone call was 88 to Rockland. Where's the question? There's no question here. Okay, wait, maybe I'll scroll down. Looking for a new office. Okay, there we go. But you found it. So, okay, yes, you can sign on Mercury retrograde. Totally, and you're going to renegotiate once we get to June or January, which is really good. And Scott's birth information is September 4th, 1970. And we'll type it in. September 4th, 1970, and he was born at 5:36 p.m. in Hartford, Connecticut. Okay, so basically we're looking to see if it's okay to sign on a Mercury retrograde, but it sounds like it is, and he's in. And then we're looking to see the renegotiated. Okay. So he has actually Mercury retrograde in his chart. So, yes, Scott, totally cool to sign. So if you look at Scott, September 4, 1970, 5:36 p.m., Hartford, He's got a little contract thing going there. Look at all those planets in the eighth house. So he's a little nervous about these contracts. He doesn't really like committing to things. But he's committing for 6 months so that he can do. And the Admetos is stationing on his Saturn. So he's actually making a commitment, probably move in this week on the 26th. The Mercury-Pluto is conjunct in his chart, so words are very important to him. And Mercury is retrograde in his chart, so his chart is not necessarily badly affected by Mercury retrogrades. He actually has good things happen. So he found a place to live or to have an office, and he found a triangle to enter into, Mercury-Pluto. It's a couple that he's working with. One does feng shui, one does body work. So he's got the triangle energy there promised by the natal chart, plus he has the Mercury commitment stuff, and he's looking at using this space to develop his practice. So he's got a nice T-square going, and let's see what his other transits are that support this energy. So he's got the Sun coming into Mars in the South Node over the next couple days. So that's him signing the papers and committing. And then he's going to have the node go through the fifth house, so he's going to figure out creative ways to market it, which is nice. He's got Juno joining onto his Saturn by progression. A little wide, never mind, I'll take that one back. And he's got his progressed moon at 21 Aries, which is coming to oppose his moon in Libra in 4 months when he makes the recommit with them. And his progressed sun is 21 Libra opposite his progressed moon in the second house. So it does look like he's ready to make a commitment to a financial commitment, moon in the second, to a business relationship. He's also got Uranus opposite Pluto, so we can expect there'll be some bumps or some unexpected changes with this. Not bad changes, but just kind of, you know, flexibility is important with these people. And he's got Jupiter and Uranus in the first. So I would also be aware of what the financial guarantees are, if there are any, and be cautious around those. Just because you're also having a Neptune square, so you can kind of not always see all the details. So Neptune square Neptune, we're always a little cautious on how we enter into things. But it can also be very positive, so I'm not knocking Neptune on that. But yeah, nice. Nice location, and I do think, you know, it's sun to your south node is really about you finding a place where you can do your work. So all in all, I like this chart. I don't see a problem with it. I think you're going to have to make some minor changes in this space in terms of its working process, because it's Saturn to your Vesta over the next month or so. But I don't think that's bad. And you have a lot of planets in the eighth house. So I would also make sure to get a look at all the other extraneous bills, such as electric and water and things like that, so that you know what those bills are ahead of time, so there are no surprises. Because there is, you have a lot of planets in your eighth house, and you do have Saturn in the house of owing money to other people. So as you're entering into a commitment to owe money to other people, i.e. signing a lease, you want to always make sure you understand what it is you actually owe. And because you have solar arc Saturn and one Cancer filling out the T-square, this is a very, for you, this makes a cardinal cross. This is a very important decision you're making. So I would be extra careful, especially even though it's Mercury retrograde and your Mercury is retrograde, we always double check those papers. And also we have your progressed Mars on your Mercury retrograde. So you may find the guy is a little, you know, you don't really like the guy. But you like the girl. She's okay. But the guy is maybe a little more argumentative than you would perhaps like. So we'll see. You'll have to keep us posted. So I think that is the question. Yes. And forward we go. Okay, next question. Thank you, Scott. Good question. So if you want to email because you're up late or you go to bed early or you don't like to call in because you're shy, you can email to me at my website, annortley.com, which, of course, nobody knows how to spell my last name, so you can also do it to astroanne.com, and there's a thing there that says contact Ann. So if you want to send a question in, you can do that too. All right, so let's take another caller, or take a caller, our first of the day. Hi, 858, how are you?
Hi, Dave, how are you?
I'm good. Do you have a question?
Yes. My birthday is April 17th.
April 17. What year? 1970. 1970. What time?
10:29 a.m.
10:29 a.m. Where?
Troy, New York.
Troy, New York. Okay. And what's your question?
Well, my seventh house is empty. And I
your
guess I always wonder.
Your seventh house is empty. Okay.
Yeah. And I guess I always. I always wonder about that, and I've just been through hell the past 2 years, so I just wanted
to
keep it.
You want
to
know about your seventh house. Now, what do you think the seventh house means? When
isn't that marriage?
Huh?
Isn't that mean you're not going to be married?
No. See, I knew you had a bad definition for it. You've been reading bad astrology books.
Okay.
So think of it this way, that the chart is a whole energy system. So when there's a house that's empty, it doesn't mean nothing's going to happen in it. It just means that that's not the area that we really want to focus on in this lifetime, meaning it's not the area where we're going to find ourselves spending a lot of time. Does not mean we're not getting married. Those houses can be very active, and at some point in your life, many times actually, planets go through that house. So every year between the end of January and the beginning of October, of February, you have some kind of relationship change because the sun goes through that house. And every time a planet goes through there, it's going to stimulate stuff. Because while you're born with your planets the way they are, the planets in the sky keep moving. Okay. So we look at that house and we look to see what it's doing and what's happening to it. Okay? So yes, mm-hmm. It is empty. You don't have anything in the seventh house. But we look at what the ruler of the seventh house is. So in your case, the ruler is Capricorn. Is Saturn. The seventh house is ruled by Saturn, and then it's also co-ruled by Aquarius, Uranus, right? So we have two rulers of your seventh house. So there's two guys in charge of your seventh house. Then we look to see what they're doing. So your Saturn is in Taurus, and he's kind of towards the top of your chart, and your Uranus is in Libra, kind of at the bottom of your chart. And we look to see if there's anything coming to wake those planets up, because in the sky, the planets keep moving. And in about a month, Saturn's going to come, actually in September, the first or second week of September, Saturn's going to come to wake up the ruler, the co-ruler of your seventh house. And so very often what happens when that happens is we start a new relationship, because you're starting a new 30-year cycle around relationships the first week in September. So when I see that, I'm always like, oh, okay. So she's ready to have, her chart's in the mood for a relationship because Saturn's coming. And whenever a planet comes, doesn't even matter who it is, Saturn, Pluto, any of the bad ones, any of the good ones, they come and they wake up that planet and they say, okay, get all excited. We're going to have a relationship or we're going to have some kind of new thing come in. Now, the next thing we look at is how do you feel about relationships, right? Because your chart's going to tell us, even though the house is empty, we're going to look to see if Saturn has relationships with anybody. And he actually does. He has quite a few relationships, in fact, in your chart. So we count how many relationships. Huh?
That's me.
That's you, right? So he has quite a few relationships. And so when you have an empty house and you have a lot of relationships, it doesn't mean, see, this is like, he's got like a lot. He's joined to Mercury. He's joined, it's a little wide to Venus, but I'll give it to you. He's trine to your moon and your south node, which means you also are having relationships with a lot of people from your past lives. He's square to Vesta, so you don't always want him to move in with you. He's a little wide, but opposite to Jupiter. He's in conjunct to Uranus, again a little wide. And he is sextile to the north node. So you have Saturn having relationships with seven planets in your chart. Now Uranus, who's the co-ruler of your seventh house, he has relationships with Neptune and with the moon and with Vesta, a little white for Vesta, we won't give you Vesta, and with Ceres and with Chiron. And he doesn't like Juno, so we won't give him Juno. So he's got relationships with five. So I'm counting 12 different relationships that those two rulers of your seventh house are having. Now, some of them are easy, and some of them are hard. But you do have, it's not like those planets aren't talking to people. They've got friends, and they're ready to bring in people. Now, the next thing we look at is how do you feel about relationships, right? So we look for that. We look to see, well, what does she think about relationships? Well, your Venus is nicely placed. She's in Taurus, which is a sign she likes. She's sitting next to her buddy Mercury. And she also is near, you know, she's kind of happy. She's trining the moon and the south node. So what I would say is that your chart really kind of tends to like its family and friends for relationships maybe more than strangers. So you don't maybe go out and meet people the way you could, or you go out with groups of people rather than as a solo where it's easy to be approached. Because your chart's going to want to always hang out with people, and because your planets are all kind of talking to each other. So that makes it a little difficult for people to approach you because you're with a group of people, and even if they thought you were cute, they wouldn't necessarily want to come over because maybe you wouldn't like them or whatever. So what you want to do is if you're out with some friends and you notice somebody cute, make sure you get yourself a little bit away from your friends so that that person can approach you, because your chart says you look a little scary to the other because they're actually probably shy. Because your partners are ruled by Saturn, so they don't really know how to move fast. It also means you can meet your partners through work, okay, because Saturn is your work. You can meet your partners through people that you know in groups. So saying to your friends, hey, you got anybody you want to fix me up with, that would be great. And it also says that in many cases, the you know, with Saturn in the seventh, there is a delay in marriage, or there can be age differences, meaning the person can be older than you or younger than you by 3.5, 7, or 10 years, or 14 years, because Saturn is involved in the seventh. But I would also say that it's about you being clear about what you want in a relationship, because your chart is actually very, very good. Your Mercury is in Taurus. When it's clear about what it wants, it's clear about it's able to get things. But having no planet in that house is not a bad thing. We look at the ruler of the house and who else is talking to the ruler. And you guys, you got two rulers who are very, very chatty. You also, and I don't mean this in a mean way or in a disrespectful manner to your parents, you really didn't like the relationship you watched when you were a little kid growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that's relationship, you may be reluctant to get into it because you're an Aries. And Aries don't necessarily like to be controlled. So you want to come up with what your vision of relationship is, not what you saw your parents do. And a lot of times we think that that's the only thing that there is. You know, like when I was growing up, my parents were fire people. My mother was a Leo. My father was an Aries. And she had a moon in Sag and he had a moon in Leo. So they had a grand trine in fire. They liked to fight a lot. They yelled at each other. But they, for them it was passion. And people would say to me, oh, your parents are so in love. They're so passionate. And I would think, I'm a little water earth girl, I would go, that's passion, man, that sucks. You know, like they're yelling at each other all the time. But for them, it was like foreplay, you know. And I, you know, they had a very passionate physical relationship. They were always jumping each other's bodies. They went skinny dipping in the pool. But I was like, you know, I don't want that. I don't want somebody yelling at me all the time showing me they love me. That, to me, isn't love.
Okay.
But it took me getting to the point of going, okay, what is my definition of what relationship is? So I ended up with a nice chatty Cancer, right? Because they talk a lot. I like to talk a lot. And they're Cancer because they're a little water, you know, whatever. So you kind of have to look at what you're looking for in relationship too. And it's not what your parents had. So you have to come up with your own definition of what you're looking for. And you actually have really good aspects for relationship this year. So do you have any questions?
Well, no.
I can talk for a whole hour, huh?
Okay. Well, I had a really tough past 2 years, and I was listening to your show the other day about jumping off a cliff, and I wondered if that was in my chart. And I ended up having a Mel Gibson moment and had popped my ex, and I got arrested, actually.
You did? What happened? What'd you do?
Well,
I love Mel Gibson moments. What'd you do?
Oh, God, it was such a long... I met him online years ago. He's very wealthy. I moved from California to Colorado. It turned out he was engaged. I got there. We went our separate ways, but then he wasn't engaged. We got back together. It was on and off, on and off. His wife was murdered like 4 years ago. Crazy story. Anyway, one thing
murdered?
Led to... Yeah, yep. And,
wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And he has three kids, and just terrible. But, you know, you wouldn't know it to look from the outside. This gorgeous guy, big house, all the toys, lots of money, three kids. And so I loved him dearly, was very compassionate, was always on the side. He seemed like when he broke up with this girl. I lost my home, my job, everything. I have a paralyzed dog. It's crazy. So anyway, I went and moved in with him, and then he came home and told me he made up with the other girlfriend, and we got into this heated argument, and I just slugged him. And he's like, I'm calling 911, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I left. I called my ex-roommate, who used to be a cop, and said, can you just see if there were any 911 calls made, because I need to get my stuff. He ends up telling his old cop buddy what happened. Well, his old cop buddy went and sought out Dominic, and Dominic told him I hit him, even though Dominic never called 911. And then I ended up having a warrant for my arrest. Never been arrested in my life. It was crazy. I mean, like, it was the most crazy 2 years. Before this, I was living in a beautiful place on the ocean in California. I had a wonderful job, traveled all over, made $75,000. And I had friends, and I volunteered at church, and I was doing very well. And then around May of 2008, everything just went to hell, and especially this past year. So just crazy. So I'm hoping it'll calm down. I'm hoping I'll get a job
Well, definitely will calm down, and you're going to, you know, you've got a lot of stuff. Now, Aries, you know, people get mad. You know, we always want to recognize they have a little temper, but I had this little friend of mine who's tiny, short, threatened to beat up this big, tall woman in the gym class. You know, the Mel Gibson moment is an important one. But you did have Saturn going through your third house. So what Saturn through the third house is having you go back and think about all the things that you learned when you were a kid and say, which of those do I believe? And one of the things your chart can do, I mean, you've already done it, is go forward and connect with people and do well and travel and have a good job. So it's not gone forever. It's kind of, you know, the last couple years has been Saturn going through the second and the third house, asking you to say, well, what do you want for your future? And then this fall, he goes into the fourth, and he's ready to build the new structure. So this fall, he's starting to build. So I think that guy, as charming as he was, part of it is, you know, the crazy making that went on isn't necessarily good for you. And you do have that moon on the south node, which would suggest to me, because the timing of it is when Saturn hit that moon, that he's a past life guy that you're probably pretty well rid of.
There was a Venus-Neptune opposition, too.
Venus-Neptune. Yeah, okay. So Venus-Neptune's hard, and you're also having a big Neptune transit on your Mars, which is you lose your mind. You know, we lose our mind. We love Neptune. It's a wonderful thing in some levels, but in other levels we lose our mind and we forget. So back to, you know, when you lose your mind with the moon in the south node, your ruler, when you give up your life for someone, your chart falls apart. Because you go to the moon on the south node and you listen to that, and then the energy is wasting. It falls apart. So you can't give up your life for anybody else. You have to add them in to your existing life and figure out how to accommodate it. But when you sacrifice your life with Moon on the South Node, your whole life does go to hell in a handbasket, because it's like everything sinks into that South Node and disappears. Yeah. So I think you're on a good cycle now with Saturn coming to the Uranus, which is breaking free of your old thoughts for the last 84 years, 30 years, back to when you were 10 years old, when there was this kind of a story going on in your family anyway. Mm-hmm. And you're really kind of looking and saying, okay, do I want to live that story, or what kind of vision do I have for myself? But with Saturn to the fourth, it often starts a really good, nice new cycle of 30 years of building, and you have a nice Saturn in Taurus, but
Can charts indicate where you should live?
Yep, they can. You can look at them from a location point of view. You basically go to astro.com. If you have software, you can do it on your own chart at home, but if you go to astro.com, they have a nice selection of relocation astrology. They have stuff you pay for, but they also have stuff that's free. And you put your chart in, and then you relocate it to different places that you're thinking of living, and it tells you what it would feel like to live there and what the money would be like and what the work would be like, because depending on where you live, your chart is going to shift. And when you go to Colorado, when you go west, your chart gets a little crazy.
Yeah,
because all those planets that are nice and high in your chart go into the 12th house of undoing. So you're better living on the East Coast than on the West with your chart.
Well, and I ended up back here just a few days ago, and I'm not real comfortable being in Capital District again. It just doesn't, the spiritual connection just isn't there for me. But it's interesting that you say that. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like Astro. They give a lot of information, and it tends to be fairly helpful stuff. So. So good luck with it. Keep us posted. And, yes, watch this September, first couple weeks when Saturn hits that Uranus. See if you don't meet somebody you think is kind of cute. So,
okay.
Good luck with
great.
It. Okay.
Thanks
bye.
So much. Okay, bye.
Okay. I think I have time for another caller. Hi, are you there? I'm probably not going to have a whole lot of time. Hi, 518, you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, my name is Erin. And hi, and my birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. August 23rd, 1963.
Okay.
40 a.m.
196, whoops, what did I do? I did something. I put you in August 1st, 1 B.C. How cool is that? August 23rd,
1963.
Okay, and the time?
12:40 a.m.
Okay, and where?
Gloversville, New York.
Okay, and what's the question?
Well, I've had some issues in the last few weeks, some T-square issues with my mother's health, and I wanted to know what you saw on that level, and also to that would be the one. A lot of stuff was set off August 1st.
A lot of stuff with August 1st, with your mother's
yeah,
health?
It started with my mother's health August 1st, yeah.
Okay.
Well, she was diagnosed with lung cancer recently.
Okay.
So, but anyways, I'm curious about that. It seems to be resolving itself now. I don't know. And then the other thing is I have a relationship that I've had on and off for about 6 years, and it feels like this person is coming back again into my life.
Okay. Mom's health is definitely something she needs to be very aggressive with.
Okay.
The mother is the sixth house, and her health is the ninth house,
mm-hmm.
counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 gets us to 6. And we have, she's got Neptune and Vesta active in her lungs. So the oxygen, I would think, is indicated. And then the ruler of the ninth house is Saturn or Uranus, depending on, I think, both count. And
mm-hmm.
they're both very active right now.
Okay.
So she needs to be very aggressive with this in terms of treating it.
Treat
and the
it.
Diagnosis, she actually had something that came to light the beginning of June. She just didn't handle it then. She gets very hinky. You know, the whole problem, and I mean this in a kind way, with Leos,
mm-hmm.
Is that they don't, like, they kind of assume if they don't pay any attention to it, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to kind of say to her, it doesn't go away. you gotta get in there and go for it. And so you really do want to encourage her to be very aggressive in handling mm-hmm. it, because she's got a bunch of stuff that says it's pretty pretty strong, and I would really encourage you to encourage her to be forceful in terms of her treatment options. She minimizes stuff, all right? So she's not talking to you about all the stuff that's going on. So
yeah.
You also want to rat her out to the doctors, you know, to the extent that you want to get involved in that. But Leos have their own vision of how they want to
mm-hmm.
live their life. So you also need to say to her, well, what's your vision for how you want to live?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when they make a decision about things, they usually are fairly clear that this is, they don't want to do this, they will do that. They're pretty straightforward. In terms of the relationship, yeah, I think he's coming back. Your progressed sun is coming, was on the moon this year, last year,
mm-hmm.
and it's coming to the Mars now. And you also have a lot of aspects in the relationship house. So I think the person will be returning. I don't know that you necessarily are going to stay with them this time yourself, because Saturn's going through that fifth house, and you're a little more clear about what you want in a relationship
mm-hmm.
that you weren't before. And so you need to be clear about what you're looking for as a, for a partner, because Venus, you know, your chart is now wanting to be respected and valued. And,
yeah.
you know, he talks a good game, and I don't have a problem with that, but I, mm-hmm. I want to see him show up well.
That's what I've kind of been waiting for a long time. And not that I've been waiting, but I've been moving forward in my life now, and I'm doing a lot of things, and I was kind of at a standstill for a very long time, and now I'm moving forward, and now he's, you know, reaching out and contacting me again, and I'm kind of just ignoring him, and just, you know, unless he's going to come back in a big way, in a genuine way, I can't mm-hmm. accept that.
No, yeah,
so.
And I think that's a good way to handle it, and just say, look, you know, what I need from you before I'm even talking to you again is the following, because your chart tends to give them the benefit of the doubt,
right?
And I don't have a problem with that because you're a kind person, but it also mm-hmm. is then people can take advantage of it, and there's a part of you that's going, I don't want to do this anymore. I want
right.
a balanced, more equal relationship, so that's what you want to hold for, and because we're at this giant crossroads. You know, when the old ones come back, it's almost like a test from the universe. It's like, hey, you want me back again? And you really need to say, no, you're really not what I want. Thank you for offering, but you're not what I want. Send me the what I want, not you.
Right, right.
And I think if you do that, you'll be pleased with the outcome. But, yeah, he's definitely coming back. And you just kind of have to say, and Mercury retrograde, of course, they always come back anyway. So,
right.
So good luck with it, you know.
Well, thank
and,
you. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll say some prayers for your mom.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
how did you know she was a Leo? From my chart, you knew my mother was a Leo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because my mother was born today. Today was her birthday.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday.
So, and on tomorrow, she went into labor on her birthday. So this is kind of, you know, we have
side by side
birthdays. But I just want to know how you knew she was a Leo. I was like, how do you know she's a Leo?
Because if you look at your chart and uh-huh. you look at the fourth house cusp, the fourth house
right.
describes a Leo. It says Leo's on the fourth house. Mom's a Leo. She's a
fire
sign of some sort. Plus, we have Venus and the sun there. So you're very
mm-hmm.
close to her and much loved by her. So
thank you.
But yes, Leos are, you know, and Leos are great parents. They tend to be very kind, but mm-hmm. they don't always take care of their health. Hmm?
Yeah.
And they often
she's a great mom.
Tend to smoke because they're fire signs. They like the fire.
She did. She smoked.
Yeah.
She quit smoking 13 years ago. So, you know, we don't think the lung cancer is causing that now, but, you know, it is what it is. And you know, I kind of tend to, like, you know, kind of want to avoid it too, you know, like talking about it. You know, like I'd rather talk about pleasant things with her and laugh and joke around and stuff than to talk about the serious stuff.
And totally, totally do that, but also say to her, okay, we're going to have a serious conversation for 5 minutes, so she knows
mm-hmm.
it's going to end. Have
right.
a conversation. She knows when it's going to end, and she can deal with 5 minutes, maybe 10. And then
mm-hmm.
she says, all right, we're stopping now. And you go, okay, we're stopping. And
right.
But, yeah, she does tend to like the nice stuff, not wanting to talk about the hard
right.
stuff. So, yeah.
All right. That's good advice, Ann. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Good luck with it. Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. So that's the show for tonight. We are on but not streaming. I have no idea what that means, but I have to go listen someday and see what it means. So, anyway, have a great week. This is Ann Ortley's weekly weather, and it's August 22nd, the week of the 22nd. And forward you go into the week. Take care and have a good one. Bye.